One year ago, my brother-in-law, Tony Hill, he'd had vascular dementia for a number of years, so he had very limited mobility, limited speech. But he had just had a checkup with the GP the day before, so his heart, his lungs, digestion, liver, kidneys, everything was all functioning quite normally, in an average, straightforward way. Then at 9:45, he began to have a seizure, and 5 to 10, he was gone, passed away in 10 minutes. So today is exactly a year since his passing. So particularly dedicate blessings, good wishes, and punya from this retreat for him. But also to take his passing as a Devaduta. Certainly he was one with many health challenges, but having had a clean bill of health the day before, and then the next day, in 10 minutes, a brief seizure, and then gone. This is a Devaduta, a heavenly messenger. So we might think sudden death isn't very heavenly, but the Buddha deliberately used this term, Devaduta, heavenly messenger, because it brings a message that can induce heavenly or wholesome, liberating mind states. In the Western tradition, we might think of a heavenly messenger like the angel Gabriel coming with lilies and radiant, beautiful entity manifesting with a kind of power and awesome presence. But in the Buddha's teaching, the Devadutas are aging, sickness, death, and the samana. Also in the list is the painful consequences of unskillful action. It's also included in some of the lists of Devadutas. And in those teachings, the question is asked, didn't you see the messengers? Didn't you get the message? So to guide our lives towards the heavenly, towards the bright, the noble, the liberating, let's get the message. Especially at the ending of a retreat, today is the 30th of March. Things officially end tomorrow morning, and then the year begins. Activities, comings and goings, duties, projects, plans. The natural pull towards what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go, what I have on my list. Very convincing, very obvious, very powerful. But just like my brother-in-law, an ordinary day. Nothing to indicate there wouldn't be a tomorrow, but then in 10 minutes, all over, gone. So this kind of teaching, these reflections are threatening to the ego, to the perceptions and habits of self-view, but they're liberating to the heart. That's why they're heavenly. Deva means conducing to the bright, the radiant. This is because that letting go of our self-centered concerns, our plans, our obsessions, that's what brings about the revealing the brightness of the heart. When the heart is in tune with its own nature, in tune with Dhamma, there's a brightness. The Deva quality. There's a radiance that comes with attunement to reality, And it's blocked and obscured, hindered by the obsessions with me and mine, my plans, my thoughts, my worries, my obligations. That's what dims the light. And when we hear these kind of teachings, we think, oh yes, right, of course, mindfulness of death, yes, very good, Maranānusati, great stuff, excellent. That refers to other people, other lives. But Mother Nature is using real bullets. These are not blanks. That brings to mind also right here in this temple a few years ago, was leading a death rehearsal meditation. The retreat on dying and death, and so we had a death rehearsal practice. So all the retreatants were here in the temple, lying on the floor. People put the mats together, and then had a visualization that that meditation period was the last 45 or so minutes of one's life. During that particular one, even though I didn't intend it, one of the retreatants did actually start receiving visits from their ancestors and had made a major medical event and had to be whisked off to hospital. He survived, fortunately, but that was an unintended consequence of a guided meditation. So, health warning. But it is important to recognize Mother Nature is using real bullets. These lives do end, and they can end at any time. It's not theoretical. It's not other people. It's this life. So the more that can genuinely be allowed in, taken to heart, that, oh, right, I might not have a Sunday. Right. What does that say about my list of things to do next week? Right. If there isn't a tomorrow, what does that say about my collection of priorities, my list of things to do? If this is my last day, my last minute, what matters? What does the mind need to be holding on to? What is supposedly unfinished? What do we think we're in the middle of? The more these kind of reflections are genuinely allowed in and not just sort of brushed aside or put into the conceptual box or a good practice to do, yeah, very helpful, and then put it in its box and park it on the shelf. But the more we really allow that actuality, this could be my last minute. I might not be alive at the time that the bell rings. That's a possibility. Real, genuine possibility. See what that does to your list of priorities, your plans, what you're carrying around, what you're going to do with your life, what your preferences are. What do you feel is unfinished? And part of that death rehearsal meditation, I feel, is also good to use at the ending of a retreat, the closing, the last breaths of the retreat time. Not just as a way of contemplating the ending of this life, but also to reveal what our customary attitudes are, how we hold our life in relationship to the people around us, the people that we've grown up with, the people we live with, how we relate to our own life, our own actions, the things that have been generated through these thoughts, these intentions, these words. What are the attitudes we maintain? So in that that death rehearsal meditation, I would present four different things to consider. Firstly, things that have been experienced, things that have been done to you, things that have affected you from the actions of others, your family members, your school teachers, your co-workers, governments you've lived under, ajahns that you've been with, or fellow companions in this life, things that you resent and are painful. There's a sense of grudge and unforgiving aversion towards that person, those events, blaming particular memories, people, things that have happened, things that were done, either accidentally or deliberately, that were hurtful, painful, destructive to you, harmful to you. To look at those, to appreciate the negative, painful impact of the actions of others, to acknowledge all of that, to consider, do I want to be carrying that around? This is my last day, my last minute. Do I need to carry those grudges around? Can we forgive? Can we make space for other people to be flawed, to be guided by greed, hatred, and delusion, and we happen to be the recipient of their unskillful actions and attitudes? Can we find space to forgive? And the next contemplation I recommend for today is to consider the quality of gratitude, gratefulness. The people in our lives who've brought great blessings. Again, our parents, our teachers, companions, people that we worked with, that we live with, brought many blessings into our life, to consciously bring those to mind, to let the heart be warmed by that appreciation of the good that has been done, the blessings received from the kindness, wisdom, generosity of others. Not to create an attitude of debt, that you didn't deserve such kindness, such goodness. Not to cultivate an attitude of having been a burden, or that you're in debt to somebody else or others, but simply to appreciate how wonderful to have been on the receiving end of such blessing, such kindness, such benefit. What a wonderful thing. So during today, this is a quality to bring to mind. Gratitude, appreciation, acknowledgement of the blessings brought into our life through the wisdom, the kindness, generosity of others, the compassion of others. And the third contemplation I encourage for today is that of looking at our own actions, things that have been said and done by ourselves that were blameworthy, that were cruel, where we hardened our heart and hurt someone deliberately or unintentionally, where we were dishonest, selfish, greedy, destructive. Our heedlessness caused pain and difficulty, damage to others. These things are not easy to recollect, not pleasant, but to bring them to mind. And can we forgive ourselves for not being absolutely perfect Can we forgive ourselves for being flawed, not having been totally enlightened beings, and instead guided by greed, hatred, and delusion when you're a foolish teenager or an overexcited, over-anxious adult, moved by reactions, moodiness, heedlessly following an impulse? Can we forgive ourselves for the unskillful, harmful things that we have done? The dishonest, unkind, selfish things. Hiriyotapa is the practice or the quality of feeling the painfulness of unskillful action. Not to build a self around it, not to create aversion, self-criticism, but to recognize cause and effect. This unskillful action was taken, these words were spoken. What's the result? Ow! Painful. That's it. This is the cause, this is the effect. It hurts. No need to add anything more to it. To forgive, to give that space for us, ourselves, this life, to have made mistakes, to have been foolish. And the fourth contemplation, sometimes the most challenging of all, is to look back over our life and to consider the good that has been done. Not to create an inflated ego or pride, conceit, but to recognize that was a beautiful thing to have done. That was helpful. People appreciated that. That was a fine thing to have brought into the world. If somebody else had done it, I'd be full of praise for them. But because it was me, I'd push it away and don't want to acknowledge it. Chaganusati is the contemplation of our own goodness, our own generosity. Oh, look back over your life. Allow the heart to be brightened by recollecting, acknowledging the beautiful, wholesome, noble things that have been done through the agency of this life. People who've been helped. Acts of kindness, self-sacrifice, compassion. Let the heart be brightened by that. This is punya, blessing. It's not egotism, it's not being inflated. The Buddha encouraged this. Recollect, bring to mind the beautiful, wholesome qualities of skillful action, the bright result that comes from wholesome action. We can use this day to cultivate these recollections and look at the result. The unskillful actions of others, the skillful actions of others, the unskillful actions of ourselves and the skillful actions of ourselves. Bring those to heart, reflect, contemplate, and see the result. And then letting it all go. Not creating a person, an I or a me or a mine out of it. When the Buddha gave advice to Mahanama about how to encourage or instruct, guide people on their deathbed, the last thing that the Buddha said in terms of what encouragement to offer is, you know, why settle for being reborn in the Brahma worlds? Better by far is to fix the mind upon Sakaya Nirodha, the cessation of identity. He said a lay person who at that time fixes their mind, realizes Sakaya Nirodha, there's no difference in their state of liberation and that of a monk who's been an arahant for 100 years. So these kind of contemplations, let them lead to that realization of Sakaya Nirodha, the cessation of identity, seeing the absolutely empty nature of I and me and mine. Feel that, know that. Let that have its effect.